Greetings in the blessed holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be continuing the series of messages that I have been doing. The last one was God's Chosen, Joseph in Egypt. And I'm going to pick up where I left off, just as in a way of review. We had Joseph that was sold into slavery by his brothers to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar, which was an officer in Pharaoh in Egypt. And then Potiphar cast him into prison, and then through Joseph having the ability through God to interpret dreams, ended up rising to governor in Egypt under Pharaoh. And he interpreted a dream for Pharaoh that predicted a seven-year plenty, a lot of harvest for 7 years, and then a seven-year famine. And then Pharaoh gave him charge over storing up food for those 7 years where Egypt would have enough. And then, while during that seven-year famine, they'd have plenty of food. Now, when we had up in Canaan, Jacob Israel sent his sons, all but one of them, down to Egypt to buy grain. And there they confronted Joseph, not knowing who he is, and he knew who they were. And he kept one of his brothers down in Egypt and told them to go back and get his other brother. So here we are in chapter 43, and we're going to continue. And I apologize for all the reading of scripture in these messages. I know it's a lot of reading, but I want us to paint a picture before we really get into the fingerprints and identity of Israel people. I want us to know those basic Bible stories, and I'm encouraging you to go back and read what I have had to skip over in these verses in Genesis. I know it seems very basic to some, but it is very important, and there's a lot of people out there that do not read the Old Testament, and it hinders their ability to understand the entirety of the Bible, even the New Testament. Because, like I said in our first message, the name of Abraham alone is mentioned 69 times in the New Testament. And if he is mentioned 69 times in the New Testament, he has to be pretty significant. Not something that we just need to roll over and not look at back in history. And this will all go together as we go along. So we're going to pick up here in chapter 43, and it says here in verse 1, "And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt," and talking about Jacob and Israel and his family, "their father said unto them, Go again and buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you," that other brother that he had not brought. "If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for you, of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this, and take of the best of the fruits of the land of your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spice, myrrh, nuts, and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, and carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go unto them, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, and that he may send away your other brother, Benjamin. If I bereave of my children, I bereave. And the men took the present, and took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up, and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready of these men shall dine with me at noon." And the men were afraid, because they were brought unto Joseph's house, and they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, we brought in that we may seek occasion against us, I fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses." And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, "O sir, we need indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money we have brought down in our hand to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money and brought Simeon out unto them." And the man brought the men unto Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him to the present which was in their hand unto the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them, of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well, the old man whom ye spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother whom he has spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste for his bowels, and did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chambers and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself, and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself and for themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto an Egyptian. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to the birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as many of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Now, we're going to stop there for a moment, and we're going to skip over chapter 43, and I encourage you to read it. And it talks about how Joseph had slipped a silver cup into one of his brother's sacks upon leaving, and they were to bring their father back. And we read here in chapter 45, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from him. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet alive? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore not be grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not that you sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the lord of your house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to your to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me lord of your Egypt, and come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and thou, and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that hast. And there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and my household and all that haste come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and your eyes of brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and that all that ye have seen, and that ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after his brother talked with him, and the fame thereof was heard of Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast, and go and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now we're going to stop there, and we're going to go over to chapter 46, and this is when Jacob Israel is coming down to Egypt. And in verse 1 it says, And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down unto Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee unto Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, and came to Egypt, Jacob and all the seed with him. Now we're going to skip down to verse 29, and it says here, And Joseph made ready his chariot, and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and present himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren, and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren, and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds, and they on all they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, What is your occupancy? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto an Egyptian. Now, from this point on, I would encourage you to read the rest of the book of Genesis from chapter 47 on, and read about how Joseph and his family dwelt in the land of Egypt. And it actually all goes back to Genesis chapter 15. And that's kind of where this story is going to go back, when Abraham was talking to the Lord. And it says here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and it says, And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. End quote. Now, remember, we just read where Jacob had a dream and a vision right before he went into Egypt, saying that the Lord told him to go down to Egypt and that they would be a great nation in Egypt. Now, what happened after this is going to be in Exodus chapter 1, and they dwelt in the land of Egypt, and then the Pharaoh died, a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And we read here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, and it says here, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all the generations. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king, over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and come up to pass that, when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." End quote. So what happened was the children of Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt for several hundred years, and they multiplied, they became a great nation, and they cried out to the Lord because of their afflictions. And what happened in verse 8, a new king arose that knew not Joseph. Now this was several hundred years. I don't know if this is referring to a dynasty, possibly, of kings that were not favorable with Joseph and his people, or it was that particular Pharaoh that rose up Joseph. I personally think it was more probably the latter, maybe the dynasty of pharaohs that knew not Joseph or didn't look favorable upon Joseph because it was such a long time. Either way, the Pharaoh died, a new king came to power, and they did not like the fact that the Israelites in Egypt were growing in number. They were afraid of them. They didn't want them, even though they were slaves, they didn't want them to rise up with one of their enemies and take over Egypt. So what they do is they raise taskmasters over the Israelites and afflict them with great burdens. And we read here, we're going to continue reading in verse 12, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and in mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sapphira, and the name of the other Pua. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come unto them. Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And we're going to read in chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the women conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, a goodly child. She hid him 3 months, and when she could not longer hide him, she took him for an ark of of reeds, and daubed it with a slime with pitch and tar, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank. And his sister stood afar to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of the Pharaoh came down to wash her at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark upon among the flags, and she sent her maid to fetch it, when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, and that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will go thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of water." And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he looked on to their burdens, and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out a second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and said to him that did wrong, "Wherefore smite thou a fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, as thou killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared, and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water, and filled the troughs to water with their flock. And the shepherds came to drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them, and watered their flock. And when they had came to rule their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come to so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, also drew water enough for us, and watered the flocks." And he said unto his daughters, "Where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man, and call him, and that he may eat bread?" And Moses was content to dwell with this man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his wife, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Jerusalem. And for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in a process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighted by the reason of bondage, and they cried, and they cry came up until God by a reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. End quote. Now that is chapter 2 of Exodus, and we're going to stop there for this message, and the next message we will go forward, and we will read about how the great Exodus, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with, in Egypt, and how God sent Moses unto Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of the bondage of the Egyptians, and then he brought forth the Israelites unto Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And that's a whole story unto itself. But for our next message, we will continue on in this series. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate all the people that have commented on YouTube and where I've posted this message, these messages. And I plan on continuing this series about God's chosen people, Israel. And to show those, and this series is designed as an introductory, milky series, but it's meat for some that do not know that those Bible stories in the Old Testament that lead all the way to the New Testament, and how they are still important today about that covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants for an everlasting covenant. So I hope that you'll continue to listen as we go on. We're going to get into this much more interesting stuff after we get through this introductory part, and I hope that you will continue to listen. Thank you for listening to Christian American Ministries.